You every time I go. It's always good to get away for a Sunday, and I think it's great for you to hear other voices here in the pulpit. Coming up the end of February, we've scheduled for Toby Seiler and his family to be here, and they're wonderful, wonderful folks. They minister to us, and he and his wife and the kids are out on the road, and he said, man, could we come and see? We'd love to have you. And he's just a wonderful, wonderful man of God. We're going to have more people share with us this year. Different people that I've talked to, they're going to come and share. But you know what? I enjoy being here at Mount Calvary Community Church in this pulpit. I listened to Matt's sermon last week. Terry puts it online. I never listen to my own sermons. Trust me, that's just, I don't know how you feel or anything, but I do. When I go to hear and I start in, and I go, oh, you know, I'm very critical of my own self when I try to listen. Same thing, we try to tape and on the music, and we try to learn the words that way, because when I listen to what we have sung on the tape, I keep telling Terry, the tape must be wrong. We can't be that bad. It must be wrong. It must be wrong. But what a thrill it is to have the opportunity to walk back into God's house knowing that God has just taken over, and He is the one who brings the increase to the seeds that we have had the opportunity to plant. So I thank Matt, to Rich, everyone that took part in the service last week. We have something special for you towards the end of the sermon today. And after the service, if you'd be so kind, we're going to have about a 20, 30 minute business meeting. We have these once a year, and John Medeiros just brought in the financial sheet, handed it to me this morning, so we'll all have the great opportunity to look at it together. God has been good to us. And we have, I believe, made an effort to try to do the best we can with what God has given us. And I believe that He has given us a wonderful, a beautiful sanctuary. I believe that God has given us marvelous people to come in. I know just this past year, the new faces that have come in that have meant so much. I got a phone call on Friday night from Dave O'Keefe and his wife Barbara. And Charlie, just want to let you know that we won't be there this Sunday and next Sunday. He said, and we missed you on the past Sunday like that. And he wanted an update on Herbie, on Janet down in South Carolina. And he said, but I just want to thank you for continuing to preach the word. Now, for those of you who don't know, Barbara and Dave are the ones kind of sit back on this side, and they've opened their house to us a couple times to go down after the church service. And boy, what warm individuals they are that have come in. They've been here to Mount Calvary years and years ago, but Barbara is so excited about the way that Dave is excited about coming to church every Sunday, and is excited to let me know when he's not going to be there. I said, Dave, I don't have church passes to write out a new excuse. Brother, but I am tickled that you thought enough of us to just give a call and let you know. And I told him, I said, I'm going to pray for you, but it's going to be hard for me to pray real hard when I realize that you're down there in the Caribbean on that cruise. And we haven't seen temperatures above freezing for the last 4 days. And he laughed, and we just had a good time on the phone sharing on Friday night. What a thrill it is to be back with God's people. Where did we leave off? I still am on David. And I'll be on David until God says, stop preaching about David. And this story, this is the part of the story where things turn a little bit. I'm in the 21st chapter in 1 Samuel. I'll read some verses and we'll preach for a bit, and then towards the end of the sermon, we have something very special for you today. We can't give it to you now, you wouldn't pay any attention at all. Now David came to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest. Remember that first line. David moved. Up to this point, everything is going just perfect. David, in just a couple years, let me tell you about his life, started out what? It was so appropriate, as Rich preaching this morning, talking about shepherds. What was David? A shepherd. A big day in David's life was watching sheep sleep. That was a big day. Just a couple years later, he's had a visit from who? Samuel. That horn of oil anointing him, the chosen one. After his brothers had stood forth first. He'd gone out with five small pebbles. And when everyone else was fearful, he called out Goliath. He went running towards his giant, slew him, cut his head off. Before he was singing to the sheep in the field, now he was singing for the king. The king asked when he had a troublesome spirit about him, is there anyone that can come? Can minister to me in song, and you realize, as you well know, how beautiful and how calming music can be. We heard it this morning. We heard it this morning here from the piano. But because he was so successful, King Saul turned on him. He was jealous. He was jealous. As he was playing, he took a spear, tried to end his life. Six different times, Saul tried to either kill David or have him killed. Sent him out against 1,000-to-1 odds. David, because he was in the favor, he was in the middle of God's will, he went through all this. Not a blemish. And then for some reason, and we don't know the reason because it's not really spelled out for us here, he turns and he runs. I guess after somebody tried to kill you 6 times, David got the message, he doesn't like me. Everybody laughs, but trust me. I've seen people have been in relationships, been in situations, and they kind of sound like that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Over and over and over again. And says, well, I think I'm starting to get the picture. He doesn't like me. The priest was afraid when he met David and said to him, why are you alone? Why is no one with you? This didn't make sense. He was afraid. He was shaking. Why'd you come to the city of priests? It is said there are about 85 priests in this city. And he said, the king has ordered me on some business and said to me, do not let anyone know anything about the business on which I send you or what I have commanded you. And I have directed my young men to such and such a place. Now, therefore, what have you on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand or whatever can be found. In the 4th verse, and the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread on hand, but there is holy bread, if the young men have at least kept themselves from women. Then David answered the priest and said to him, truly, women have been kept from us about 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in effect common, even though it was consecrated in the vessel this day. So the priest gave him holy bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread, which had been taken from before the Lord in order to put hot bread in its place on the day when it was taken away. Yeah. Let me explain to you what happened. The custom on the Sabbath, the priest would go and bake 12 loaves of bread. These 12 loaves of bread would be set aside. They were holy bread. For just the priest, and only after a week. Do not invite me to your house when you have that fresh bread and you want to let it sit on the table for a week. We're not so excited about this bread that's been on there for a week, but this is what God had commanded. Then and only then were the priests allowed to eat of this bread. David walks in, tells him a lie, comes straight to him, and lies to him. He says, "The king has sent me on a secret mission." No such thing. He was on the lam. What does it mean to be on the lam? He's on the run. But he told the priest, he says, "The king has sent me on a secret mission. Don't tell anybody. And I have need of something to eat. I have need of something to eat." The priest gives him this bread. Now I'm going to drop down here. The 8th verse, and David said, "Is there not here on hand a spear or a sword? For I have brought neither my sword nor my weapons, which be because the king's business required haste." Another lie. So the priest said, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, there it is, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you will take that, take it, for there is no other except that one here." And David said, "There is none like it. Give it to me." David comes, tells the priest a lie. Takes the bread, which is set for the priest. Eats of that bread. Then turns around again and lies to the priest, saying, "I have no sword because the king ordered me out so quickly on this." And he took the sword that he used to slay Goliath with. Not a very pretty picture of David, would you say? All this is after he had had his complete focus on God. All this after he was the only one out of all the armies who said, "Who is this Philistine who marches around for 40 days? Who is this one who comes forward to find the name of God? The Lord of hosts, the Lord with me, who has seen me and has kept watch over my sheep. He will strengthen me and allow me to kill this uncircumcised Philistine." Then something happens. He goes on the run and he lies. But here's the key. Where does he run to? He runs to church. He runs to church. God in his wisdom, David, the one called the man after God's very own heart, at least is moved of God enough to run to church. He walks in, starts telling lies, kind of taking the scriptures and taking them loosely. He says, "No, you know, this bread, come on, priest, this bread is not really holy bread. You just cooked it this morning. Isn't it just bread?" And then he lies about it and takes the sword. But remember, he's doing all this in church. In church. When people come to church and they are hurting, what should we do? I've heard it said from this pulpit many times. I've heard it prayed many times. I've heard Rich stand forth and a church is to be a hospital for the wounded. A church is to be a place where you invite those that are struggling, that are hurting, that are going through things in their life that they just can't handle. That's when the doors need to be open. That's when our hearts need to be warm and forgiving and understanding. This story was spoken about a little later on in God's Word. Matthew, the 12th chapter, the first verse. "At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.' But he said to them, 'Have you read not what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him now, He entered into the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priest. Jesus talks about what David did 1,000 years later. So we're going to focus on David. Are we going to focus on the troubles? Are we going to focus on the issues? Are we going to decide in our hearts and in our minds about what church should be? I love God's Word. I love reading it. I love the way that it just speaks to people's hearts. There is nothing more powerful than God's Word. The Gideons will go all over and they will simply testify about what God's Word has done in changing the hearts of men and women. But there is the question. Do we serve the letter of the law, or do we serve the spirit of the law? I have a quote here. I actually underlined it. There's an author, Eugene Patterson, and he makes this statement. He says, a sanctuary is where I, like David, get bread and a sword. I get strength for the day and weapons for the fight. I get strength for the day and weapons for the fight. We're going to have people walk into church that just are struggling, folks. We're going to have people walk into God's house and, boy, on the outside, they may look just perfect. But on the inside, things are going on. There are struggles. There are issues. And thanks be unto God, they somewhere in their hearts, they've decided to go to church. I would love a church where everybody just came in and was perfect. Guarantee you, I would not be elected pastor of that church, though. And you can say amen to that, and if you like. Where nobody missed a note. Bob, look at me. Where nobody missed a note. Amen. Where everybody just got along just so peacefully all the time. Never an issue. That is not the way that life is. Life is made up of hardship, of struggle. So many times I repeat, what is the rule of Mount Calvary? In just a little bit, you're going to get a little booklet in here, and then it states statement of beliefs. But then I kind of add one on to it. This is the rule. You have to learn to play well with the children at this playground. Or find another playground. That is the simplest rule that I know. It's the one that I grew up on. When you see children and you just leave them alone, let them go play, they will figure it out. The one who hogs the ball too much, sooner or later, he'll be out on his own. You got to learn how to play well with the children at this playground. As a church, we have the responsibility to feed people the bread of life. God's Word. And I love it because I get the opportunity to stand in front of you and preach on a Sunday where there's so many people out here that are willing to share God's Word. There are people who head up services down in the campgrounds, and they preach God's Word. Somebody who came to church today just to hear us sing happy birthday to them, just to do that, that's the only reason she came. She also goes out and spreads God's Word. Oh, I love that. Rich, whenever he's not in this walls, that's when the work begins. That's where the responsibility you have to start to wear your salvation and share with others the need that they have. To me, friends, this is what church is. Did the priest do right? The priest knew. He didn't focus upon that spirit of the law and how many loaves set forth to the priests were eaten. No. He focused on how many men were helped and were filled that day. Our purpose here, our purpose, and our only purpose is to lift up the name of Jesus by what we do and how we share. Whether it's here in this area, pretty soon, God willing, Gene and Arlene, they'll be taking a little flight over there. They are moved in their heart. I had talked to Gene. How did he put this? It was somewhere he was moved in his heart to go down to minister to the Philippines, and all I could hear was, what's the temperature in the Philippines? And what's the temperature it is out here now? And I said, praise God. I think you're doing the right thing, brother. And he says, you know, this old cold, it just kind of gets to me. I believe that this is a hospital that people come into and we share together. I don't know why Mount Calvary has always kind of worked out this way. People come into this church and they're here and they take the love of God with them. Whether they minister here up in Pennsylvania, down in Florida, I can think of the Wykes. I can think of Betty Bixby many years ago and how she was just a wonderful, wonderful. And I can think of Brother Ed Campbell, who I stood and sang that very song without him many, many times. And how he simply wanted to share the love, the Word of God with others. Folks, that's what church is all about. You're not going to get it right. You're not going to get it perfect. You're going to make your mistakes. You're going to have your stumbles. You're going to fall. You're going to do the wrong thing. Even when everything you think is going along just super, that's when the old devil's going to work on you. That's where you need brothers and sisters who'll stand by you. We'll lift you up in prayer. We'll just believe with you that what you're going through is not going to last. God is going to see me through. Oh, he is going to see me through. Wait a minute. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans, the 8th chapter, 38th and 39th verse. If you want a verse to memorize, if you want one to place down in your heart, if you need one that you need to start quoting sometimes when things get a little rough, you get a hold of something from God, and God will use it. Maybe not in your time, maybe not exactly the way you wanted it to happen. I want patience, and I want it today. It's been my philosophy my whole life. So God's still got a lot of work to do with me. But God is in the doing business. He wants me to be in the willing business. We come to God's house for bread and for a sword so that we can go out and fight the challenges we will have. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we've been in your house today, God. We have felt the warmth. We've felt the laughter, the smiles. We've had a chance to cry together, God. So, Heavenly Father, you just meet each one of our needs. Lift up again all those prayer requests that we mentioned to you earlier. God, keep us as a family. Keep us warm. Keep us focused upon the good things that you have for us. Allow us to be warm, kind, tender, one towards another, the way that you have been so forgiving of us. And Heavenly Father, strengthen us through your power. And let us to be bold, bold when we lift up the name of Jesus. Allow us to show a world that is lost, that is hungry, and that is thirsting for the love of God, the warmth of an individual simply who cares enough to show a smile, a kind word. God, let us be those individuals that are counted for you. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.